and welcome to Phoenix Vision. I'm Jess Farmer and my guest today is Leah Kicks, who is a master Reiki practitioner, massage therapist and holistic health practitioner. This was a fantastic episode all about energy. So how is energy working within our system and how can we use energy in order to help us heal? We spoke a lot about Reiki, its history, what it is and how it can help people, and how Leah helps people with her Reiki practice. And we also spoke a lot about how to open up into greater realms of spirituality, because there's a lot of people out there who are curious about spirituality, but may not know the best ways to get involved or the best path to take. So yeah, we had a great expose on how to open up into spirituality, and it was a really fun conversation. Now, this is jam-packed with knowledge. We covered a lot of ground. So if you're interested in finding out about energy, then this is the podcast for you. Enjoy. Hello and welcome to Phoenix Vision. I am here with the amazing Leah Kicks, who is a massage therapist and Reiki practitioner. Welcome to the podcast, Leah.
Thank you.
Real pleasure to have you on. And it's a really, really good to have you on, because we met very serendipitously at the end of last year. I think it was just like, I was like, leaving the hostel in Colombia, about to get on the plane, and then we started talking about astrology, and it's just like, oh, this is one of those meetings that's okay, so supposed to happen. I think we both felt in this way, so
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so it's a joy and a pleasure to have you on the podcast, and let's see where things take us today.
Thank you. I'm really glad to be here. Thank you.
Cool. So I'd love to kick off, Leah, by just asking you like a little bit about your journey. So what led you into healing, helping facilitate people's healing journeys? I also know that you've been on a quite a brilliant, lovely traveling mission over the last year, maybe longer, I can't remember. But I know you've been doing some deep travels in the Americas. So yeah, we'd love to hear about your story.
Spirituality, I think for me, is something that I've always been really open to as a kid. I think I was that, you know, weird kid that would always be like playing with incense, practicing like witchy things. But just for fear of not fitting in, I kind of, you know, just pushed it all away. And it wasn't until I kind of got into a really dark place with my mental health and things, and just really not finding that any mainstream practices as such were working for me. So I really learned that I had to kind of go inwards and work on myself. But again, from being young, I've always enjoyed helping and healing other people. I've always just, my mission, well, I didn't realize it was my mission, but I always just wanted to do things that made people happy. I always wanted to make people happy and feel good, which is why I kind of at first went down the like beauty route. So my background to begin with was in like beauty therapy. I always wanted to go into physiotherapy, but I was like, oh, I'm not smart enough. We won't do that. Again, just lack of self-esteem, I suppose, and not realizing, you know, that everyone can do those things. But I went down that route and just noticed that I had a real calling for people coming to me, not just for these treatments, but for, you know, wanting to talk about things, wanting to understand different ways how I live my life, or just asking a lot of advice. And I found it quite shocking that me as a, you know, a young 20-year-old was having these grown women asking me about, you know, different issues they had. So I suppose that just kind of gave me the confidence to step further into it. And then, yeah, I decided back in 2018 I was going to go back to Australia, and that's kind of where things kind of opened up for me and started on this spiritual path and journey, like really deeply going into it. And then I came home, decided, right, closing my business, going off traveling, moving to Australia, and ended up somehow being in Canada and spending 3.5 years there. So throughout a pandemic, you know, really, really deep diving into my healing journey, learning lots of different modalities. It's when I started stepping into Reiki and things as well, and just really understanding how much of an impact this can have on people's lives, and seeing that, especially somewhere like Vancouver, where it was so much more open to things. Just really finding those people and getting into those spaces and communities. And then that life kind of ended there, which is then when I decided, okay, South America, Latin America, we're going to go travel it. And that's when I found yourself, and the catalyst just kind of continued, really.
Awesome. Yeah, quite a journey. Like spending like, what was it, 3.5 years in Canada, did you say?
Yeah, I was supposed to spend 6 weeks there and I ended up being there 3.5 years.
That's awesome. Well, whereabouts were you? Like the British Columbia side at all?
Yes, yeah, British Columbia in Vancouver. I started off on the east and made my way all the way over. I got to Vancouver and just had this knowing inside me that I was like, I need to stay here. There's something I need to learn. And it ended up being the huge, like, say, catalyst and starter of this massive healing journey that I went on. That was extremely tough and difficult, being completely alone in the midst of a pandemic, away from everyone, but also the best thing that could have ever happened to me for that part of the journey.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, but it'd be good to like ask you a little bit about the healing journey. I mean, like, you know, you don't need to go into specifics or anything, but I think like a lot of people have some sort of feeling. Maybe it's quite close to the surface. Maybe it's like a little bit more underneath. But there's a lot of people who kind of know that like there's maybe some self-work and some self-healing to do, or that maybe it's something they maybe want to do, or maybe that they feel that they have to do. Was there any particular catalyst for the healing journey, or did it just kind of did it just kind of come up as the pandemic did? Because I know the pandemic in of itself, like, you know, this triggered a lot of processes across the world. So what was it in terms of the healing journey, in terms of a catalyst?
Mine started just before the pandemic, and honestly it was very intense and very quick and very hard. I think it was just almost everything had kind of imploded on me, shall we say. And I kind of was looking at my life being like, I gave up this incredible life in the UK where I had this business, you know, everything was working so well. What have I done? And I felt like, again, I'd hit like almost hit like a rock bottom. And it just sent me into this spin of being like, okay, I either need to go home or I need to work on this and heal. And then at the time when I was thinking of going home, the pandemic happened and I was like, okay, I have a choice right now. And what do I want to do? And I chose myself. I chose, no, let's dig through this. And I'd sat with different people previously in whether it's like different like circle spaces, women's circles, or even different therapists and things, and just found, I don't know, I found that the therapy side of things didn't really help as much as the spiritual side of the, you know, shadow work, the journaling. I started using a little bit of psilocybin and things as well, just to get deeper into the parts of my mind maybe I wouldn't allow myself in, and to really just be able to change those neurological pathways and just see, oh, okay, this is a problem here. And I really got into yoga, where I really started to connect with my body and get out of that head, because I was very much a head person that would just, you know, really get stuck in there over the littlest of things and not actually come back to my body, sit and be with it and figure it out. So to begin with, it was very slow. And then all of a sudden the universe was just like, nope, you need to get on this. And it kind of ripped the rug from underneath me and just threw it all at me at once. And I was like, okay, we gotta sink or swim. So
mm-hmm. So you swam.
I swam pretty hard, and it was again, it was really difficult, but it was so beautiful and so incredible. And I sometimes forget how far that I've actually come and how all just these little changes and these different things that I did made such an impact to everyday life, to the way that I look at things, to how I do things now or interact with people. So it was really tough and challenging, but also so beautiful at the same time. And I'm really grateful for all those things that happened to bring me to that space.
Beautiful. And you mentioned about finding Reiki during this time and stepping into your into a role as a Reiki practitioner. Mm-hmm. There's not actually been any representation of the Reiki community on the podcast yet, so like, I'd love to go into Reiki a little bit. So yeah, I'd love to ask, like, if you could give your expression of what you feel Reiki is, how it helps people, and also, yeah, I'd love to hear like how you got into it and like what were you called to it, or what led you into training in Reiki?
Yeah, so Reiki is a energy healing modality. It's either like hands on or hands off, but we are channeling energy from the universe into a client or a person, either in person or at distance, to work on spiritual, physical, energetic healing, if there's any issues and things going on. And for me, Reiki is a really beautiful practice. It's a way that clients can really connect deeply with themselves. It allows them to also focus their own energy on an area as well that they need more help and work with, help to realign the chakras. And yeah, it's something that I suppose people have to have a little bit of trust and faith in you to step into it, because it's not something that you can necessarily instantly feel with, you know, the likes of the massage where you're working on the muscles, you're working out the knots and the tension, you can feel that. This is definitely a lot more trusting and expansive and opening. So you can use it at a distance on people if you know that they're ill or, you know, they're going through a struggle, but it's a lot more powerful when people accept and consent to it and allow it in. And I know for me, the Reiki that I've had done has been so powerful. And sometimes you feel like you go into this really deep meditation and go off into this other little realm while somebody is kind of working through your chakras, working with your spirit guides and things to help bring different things into alignment. And yeah, I suppose for me, when I was doing back when I was doing beauty and everything, I always knew I wanted to go more into the holistic side of healing, always. But again, it was just finding those practitioners or those people that I really resonated with and wanted to work with. For me, it takes me a long time to trust and to step into spaces with people. And I ended up coming across again purely by chance. I was doing my massage in Canada and I found, I got a new client and we got talking a lot. And she mentioned about having just sat with Reiki with this lady and just sounded like it was the right person for me. So we ended up basically exchanging details and I found her, and we did, when we connected and spoke, we both realized we were both Virgos, and it was just this incredible partnership that worked so well for a teacher-student relationship. Our charts, because she's also a great astrologer as well, our charts also were actually perfect for that match. So we just bounced and flowed off each other lovely. So yeah, it's I know something that I think, again, a lot of people think, oh, it's a little bit too woo-woo. But once you understand that, you know, I'm not putting anything into you that isn't already there. I'm just allowing it to channel through me into you. And it's only coming for the highest good of all, like the highest good of the person, mankind, the community. So yeah, it's a really interesting thing, because some people may come out of it and feel like, oh, nothing happened. But as I say, you may not feel those things instantly. It may be a nice, slow, gentle progress. Or because there is some quite large blockages, it might take some time for it to really come through. Some people after a session can instantly feel that and have a huge wave of emotions come up and over them and a huge outpour of that, because there has been different blockages. And yeah, it's really interesting, the different things that can come up and can be seen or healed alongside it.
Mm, absolutely. And I've seen in the past, so I understand it can be like a really subtle shift that can unfold in time. I've also seen some damn like quite dramatic things happen in the past. I remember like I've been co-facilitating a few events, and you know, you see kind of like some like full body convulsions, like releases, people crying. Which, you know, crying is a good thing.
Yeah, very good.
And all manner of things like coming through. It's like really, really interesting. And I'd love to ask on like what your take is on how things are working to elicit that, because I know like there's a lot to be said for the intention. And in fact, like there's some people say that like pretty much all healing is focused around intention. So what would your thoughts and feelings be around that, Leah?
Oh, I fully agree. I think that wherever we direct and focus our energy is that's where it's going to go to. So if we focus on the fact that we're in pain, we're hurting, or there's something bad, it's going to constantly stay around there. Whereas if we try and change and shift that narrative of, okay, we're going to heal this, we're going to work on this, it all just helps to kind of light that fire and allow it to come up that little bit quicker. And I do find that a lot of people almost enjoy sitting in the pain. For me, I noticed that it's something that I've been working through, that it's very comfortable and easy to sit there because a lot of people are there, but it's very difficult to actually make that step into, okay, we're going to make these changes, we're gonna shift the energy, we're gonna shift the focus, because it's almost rewiring your whole brain as to how you look at things, how you look at the world or what's going on inside you. But yeah, I'm a huge believer that yeah, where we put our focus, our energy goes. For instance, I had surgery on my knee back in May. I tore 3 ligaments and had really nasty surgery. I had my ACL reconstructed and I'd never been in so much pain before in my life. But I really, really worked hard with using Reiki, using my physio exercises and things, and really knowing, okay, I'm going to heal this and I'm going to come back fast and better than ever. And I did, from shifting that mindset and allowing my energy to flow there. I know when I'd go and see my physios, they'd be like, okay, you're moving on a lot quicker than most other people would have been. And actually here in Colombia, I managed to do a 4-day hike in the jungle, 8 hours a day. And I never thought I'd be able to do that just yet, because at one point I couldn't even kneel on my knee. So it just shows, you know, where we put our focus. If we really want something, it's going to come in. And as long as we're focused and we keep being honest with ourselves, you know, it's great to have goals, but nothing that's too crazy that you're going to be like, okay, in 6 weeks I want to be healed of everything. That's not necessarily going to happen. We'll put, you know, I put realistic kind of timelines on it so that we're not going to be met with disappointment, so it doesn't pull us back. So yeah, I think our mind is an extremely powerful tool, and there is so much out there that we can use to just push it in the right way if we really want to.
Awesome. I love how you got the physios scratching their heads.
yeah, they were just like, okay, this is like really, like, yeah, so quick and so fast that I was doing things, and I was like, I know that I'm that type of person. When I set my mind to something, I will achieve it. And I've noticed that I can do that now physically as well as in business or in my life. If I want something, I'll go after it and I'll get it. And it was, yeah, really, really tough time that was, because I'm an extremely active person. My jobs and everything depended on standing, and I was like, no, we're gonna get this. We're gonna get this nice and fast, and get back to being able to do the things I love again. Mm-hmm. Not sure I'll go back to playing rugby again. There's still that fear there, but we'll see. Maybe.
Excellent. Is that how you did the knee injury rugby? Yeah.
Yeah. I took a really nasty tackle, and yeah, unfortunately, it could have been a lot worse, but that's what happened. Yeah. So it's a shame, because I was loving being back in the sport again. After everything, after the pandemic and not doing it for so long, but it is what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. I always like that when you know, you can turn around and say like, well, it's bad or serious, but you know, it could have been worse.
Yeah.
It can kind of help to create some freedom around it and create some positive motivation, which, you know, the mind is very powerful. So the body's listening. So, you know, if we're able to send positive messages to things, it can potentially speed our journeys up. And like, yeah, I'd love to maybe open up a dialogue around energy and the energetic output of the human being, because, you know, some people may be aware, a lot of people won't be aware. I mean, as well, that, you know, we emit electrical charge. We're very much electrical beings living in an electrical universe. And, you know, they say that the heart is like an electromagnet that generates an electrical field around us, like up to 3 feet. And they also say that through experiencing different emotions, such as joy, love, expansion, you know, like good things tend to expand our electric field. And they've measured this. instruments. And they've also found that negative emotions, such as like jealousy, disgust, shame, this can also contract our electrical field. So, and also, you know, you mentioned about the chakras, all of them kind of have also been measured. So it's kind of like I'm going from like these real engineer kind of like, you know, side of things, but it's like, I kind of like interpret this as like Reiki is potentially like a means of interfacing with these energetic systems of the body, being how we're all kind of like in this energetic way. So but I know it's way more mysterious than that as well, because it's just like trying to scientifically quantify something that's quite unquantifiable. So
yeah,
what would your thoughts be on that, Leah?
I think it's a a great way that we can use this. But I also think that whatever terms kind of work for you to understand it is right as well. Because there is some people that will have that kind of analytical mind or engineering mind, and they won't resonate as well with the spiritual side of things or the like energy per se of it. So I think if that's a way how you can resonate and relate to it or understand it in your brain, I think it's awesome. But I do think that, yeah, Reiki is a tool to allow us to get the cogs of our body working properly, whether it's realigning the chakras, moving energy and blockages so that our energy centers can flow freely and the system can kind of work properly. So for instance, if you've got a blockage in your solar plexus, it's going to stop the energy from moving further up into the chakras, which means you'll feel disconnected from maybe your heart, your throat, your third eye or your crown, which kind of stagnates the energy into a center. And it may mean that you'll feel more rage or not understand how to express that properly. And I didn't realize I was doing this test on myself until I realized it became a test when, you know, energy, what we put out, we attract as well. So for instance, when I first moved to Canada, I had multiple jobs because it was very expensive living where I was living. And I'd noticed if I was rushed or stressed in a day, I would be met with people with really negative energy. I just seemed to be attracting and drawing that in. And I was like, what's going on here? But other days where I'd have, you know, plenty of time, I'd be in this really joyous state. I'd just be met by that constantly. And again, that was those little indications of, okay, it really is true. What you put out, you get. So the more I would try to really focus on, okay, we may be feeling really stressed right now. Let's try and get rid of that before we step out, because I don't want to be met with more of those things. And I think you can use Reiki to help that as well. Cause you know, on a morning, I'll try and, you know, do a little Reiki meditation to try and align my chakras for the day to get my energy flowing. And again, on a nighttime, I'll try and use it to release any energy that may have attached onto me from the day that isn't my own, and let that go. But again, I think with all these different healing modalities, they all can be used to help us with the cog of the body. It's all like one incredible system, and there's things that will work for some people and there's things that won't. And it's about allowing that again and flowing with that and finding that specific thing that works for you and implementing it to allow your system to work nice and clearly and at the highest, you know, optimum potential that it can.
Absolutely. I see this in my work with people. You probably see it as well as like the massage therapist in terms of or you'll probably feel it a lot more than it might because of your sensitivity. But I definitely noticed the correlations between the mental emotional themes of the chakras and postural changes within the system. It's really interesting. Someone's feeling of groundedness and safety and security, often the pelvis will change position. You can see the pelvis as the foundation, like root chakra, our feelings of safety and security within the world. So I can like really, really see how, and then, you know, do you find ever that, you'll do a Reiki session with someone and then afterwards, their posture might subtly change?
Yeah, you can definitely notice, especially if you're working, say, you can see it a lot with the heart chakra and things, because you'll notice people will come in very rounded, very kind of protective of their chest, almost as if they're trying to like hide and cover it over. And you can notice that afterwards, when you've managed to kind of relieve some of that or allow the energy to flow, that people will just stand that little bit taller and just hold themselves a little different and almost put their chest out there a little bit because they're opening that heart chakra. And it can be very difficult for people because it is obviously a very sensitive space. So, you know, keeping ourselves a little more protective feels the right thing to do. But when we do realize we can just open that a little bit more, it allows more in. So yeah, I definitely notice a huge change in people when they step out, or sometimes when they come back in afterwards, you can notice and you can see that there's those changes, because sometimes people are leave feeling, you know, very tired. Some people leave feeling really high energy. So again, it varies on what we've worked with. But yeah, you can really see those. It's sometimes subtle shifts, and other times it's a huge shift, and they may not notice it right away, but you will. And then after a little while, they'll start to come to see, oh, actually, I'm holding myself much better, or this feels more comfortable. My shoulders don't feel as tight anymore. And yeah, it's really, really beautiful to see those changes. And that's why I love doing what I do. I love noticing and seeing those changes and watching people just walk out feeling and being that little bit lighter. Like that's what brings me so much joy, to just see that and just be like, okay, we're on the right path here. We're helping. We're making a little difference.
So. Oh, that's beautiful. That's really beautiful. I just got a bit of a quick question on just to open up that open up the heart chakra. So, you know, based on what you said, like, could it be like a good avenue of thought to think that, like, say if someone's gone through some difficult experience based around love, say if someone's gone through like a breakup, would you notice that you mentioned how like the shoulders might come forward to like protect? So if someone's gone through like a really difficult experience, like a breakup, is it like quite a possibility that, you know, their shoulders may come forward to kind of like metaphorically protect the heart? Is that something?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely, because they've had so much kind of pain in that space and they don't realize that, you know, that also they're hiding themselves a little bit because they don't want to be seen. They're in that place of wanting to go inwards and just kind of hide away and protect. But yeah, definitely, you notice a huge amount of people just keep those shoulders in and really just holding tight onto that heart space. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
really interesting. So like, Is Reiki, are there any simple Reiki practices that someone could employ for themselves, or is it something that they would need to maybe do some training on, or is there something that someone can maybe like think about or move with without training?
You can do little bits on yourself. It wouldn't necessarily be Reiki. Well, it would be Reiki, yes, because you'd be working with your own energy. So you could do some really nice meditations to work and align your own chakras, but to actually be able to use Reiki to transmit to other people, you would have to be opened up and have the chakras and the symbols and things opened up to you by a Reiki master. So yes, we all can access it, but somebody just kind of has to open those channels for you. If you want to do, as I said, I do with myself on a morning, you can sit and just kind of call in healing energy from the universe for yourself and just think about it coming up and through each different chakra to clear those areas. Just sit and notice anything that comes up into those spaces. And then just with your breath, allowing it to pull up higher into the next space and relieve anything that kind of isn't yours. And a great way to do that is with the breath, long, deep breaths in. And like I said, feeling the energy, noticing what colors are in the chakras, what emotions or feelings come up and let go of what doesn't belong or doesn't serve you anymore.
Nice. And just to pivot a little bit, Reiki is it Japanese in origin?
Japanese, yes, yeah. It started off in Japan, and it came to kind of mainstream Asian around about the 1920s, but it kind of went underground because of World War II a little bit, so it kind of became a little bit taboo to be able to practice it, and then it got brought over to the West by a lady, I can't remember her name. She taught from the Reiki master who brought it into Tokyo, and he basically found it by he was always wanting to work to harden his body and his mind, and he decided to go on like a 21-day pilgrimage to climb up this mountain completely fasted, and as he got to the top on the 21st day, he I think he was almost kind of close to death and felt this intense energy over him, and it was Reiki energy that he'd opened himself up to and allowed to come through, and he kind of had learned this of the universe and decided that he was going to share it with his family, and he noticed incredible healing with them and was like, okay, this needs to be opened up to the world, and moved to Tokyo, opened it up in a practice there to teach people it, to to heal people with it, and again it just got bigger and bigger, and then it got brought over to the West, and that's how it made its way here. I think it used to be something that they just used to open up everyone to, but they decided that they wanted to keep it. So, you know, you would have your masters and the channels that you would kind of come down, the lineage that you would work from, which is why they created the proper courses and then decided to add a bit of payment into it as well, so that people were practicing it for good as well. And it was going into the right people that wanted to use all of this. So.
Wow, that's really interesting. Really interesting.
Yeah.
So, sorry, go on.
No, that's okay.
And so now you practice a couple of other, like, you're a massage therapist, so like within how you're working with people, would you structure something so that like you're doing like Reiki one session, massage another session, and do you do talking work with your clients as well? Or
yeah, it really depends on the individual. So I am very open to flowing with whatever they need and whatever they want. So yeah, I'll find that sometimes that will just happen, or I'll notice that some people maybe I'm working on areas and I can't get in there. So I'll try and channel a bit of Reiki into the area whilst we're doing the massage as well. But yeah, depending on what people need, I kind of just open that and allow it to flow with them. And you find that people will naturally just start talking and opening up about certain things anyway. So it's a very safe space, and it's a very vulnerable space that people are in, because a lot of the time, you know, when you're doing massage, you are almost naked. You don't have your clothes on, but also you're kind of stripping away those guards because it's such an intimate experience. So it gives people, I don't know, a chance to bear a little bit more of themselves that maybe they wouldn't to other people. So again, that allows me to go deeper and to understand why there may be tension in certain places and what I can use to kind of really help speed that healing process for them a little bit. But again, I have to be very careful with things because, you know, you don't want to push too much onto people. And just because of my certain experiences or the other modalities I do, doesn't mean that everybody's open to it. And again, before I channel Reiki or anything, I always want to ask for consent from the client just to make sure that they're okay with that. Or before we dive and talk into certain topics, or before I maybe give a bit of advice on how to implement and change things, again, I always try to just, you know, ask for that consent and make sure it's something that they want to know, because I want to keep that relationship as honest and as trusting as possible.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. When you're practicing massage or Reiki with someone, do you get like this intuitive feeling of where to go? So double barrel question: do you get an intuitive feeling of where to go? And also, do you catch any feelings or anything from the client when you're working with them? Because often you hear of like when you're doing like energy practices such as this, you'll be working with someone and then like. So like a feeling might come into the practitioner or even like an image or something like that. So do these kinds of things ever happen?
Yeah. So with the intuitiveness of knowing where to go, again, obviously when I do massage or Reiki, we have kind of like a routine, but that's very flexible, but of the way that we work through the body. But I feel as if I'm always just guided exactly where I need to go. And this was before I did the Reiki or the energy healing. Even when I'd massage, my hands knew where I needed to go with that person, from whether it be the consultation that we've discussed and what problems they have. I just always like had this knowing. So that really helps in knowing where to go and to heal with people. And yes, when I can get into certain spots or certain places, I really try to protect my energy so I don't get too much of it in. But sometimes if it is a very overwhelming feeling, I can feel it. So for instance, I can get to a certain point of somebody and I can just want to cry. I can feel the amount of pain and stuff that was there, especially when you're working kind of like, say, on the back in around again where the heart chakra area would be, or sometimes around the hips and things of people. I can really, yeah, I would really feel it. I'm like, okay, we need to be very gentle here and soothing. So yeah, sometimes you can see different images and things. And again, if certain things do come up, depending on the client and their openness, I will maybe express that to them. Sometimes I won't. I'll just take it with me and maybe sit on it for a little bit and try to decipher and understand what it was that came up. But yeah, definitely the emotions and the feelings that come through, you can really feel that in some. And again, you have to be very careful with certain people, more so with the massage than the Reiki, but certain people can be almost like energy vampires, and unbeknownst to them, they can take your energy away from you. And it's something that I learned very early on in my practice. I had to really protect my energy before stepping into a space with somebody, because you can come away and I could be like, why am I so exhausted? And you could see that person like jumping through hoops after they'd left, and you're like, okay, they took it all with them. So yeah, it's a delicate balance, but it's again, a beautiful experience to sometimes go in and being the empathetic person that I am, I can usually feel the energies of people when they come into the space anyway. And I feel that, and then going deeper into actually working with them, I'm like, okay, this is really powerful. And we, yeah, have to decide which is the right way to go through it all.
Wow. Yeah. It's such a fine line, isn't it? Between, you know, where do I need to go with this person? What's going to maybe overstep something, or maybe do I do need to go there, you know, and like knowing like when to go to that challenging place with a person and when not to. So yeah, it's like a real, real balancing act. So I'd love to one more question around sort of like your practice and your profession. Like, where can you see things going with your modalities and your way of working with people? Have you got any visions about where you want to take things in terms of your healing practice, as well as your healing journey? Because, you know, I often find that the two are entwined in many ways. Yeah. Because you know, as we heal ourselves as therapists, we're able to you know, affect our clients in like a deeper way. So yeah, where are things going in the future, Leah?
So I have a dream, and I see my vision very clearly. I want to have my own healing space, like full space where people of all different practitioners that have different modalities can come in and can use the space to help people. Basically the space, the only requirement it has is it has to overlook water. So this beautiful space where we can hold yoga sessions, we can hold circles, we can facilitate ceremonies, we can have retreats. It was something that at first I only wanted to open to women, because I feel that women and men heal very differently, and we have to look at them in different ways, because a way that a woman would heal is not the same way that would help a man heal. In the fact that, you know, women like to open, to share and to talk. Men like to do things and be like, you know, create something as a way to then be able to express and open themselves. But they couldn't necessarily just sit in a circle and share like a lot of women do. It just doesn't feel as comfortable and natural to them. But I'd noticed over my time of sharing different things on social media that I would get a lot of men that would open up those spaces and ask me questions, and I was like, okay, I can't be restricted to this. But yeah, I see myself having this beautiful space. I am continuing on my own healing journey and learning new modalities. As you know, I'm opening myself up to training in new different things. But yeah, I really want to have this safe space. But the most important thing for me is that it's somewhere that people would have a membership. They could come in every couple of days to do different things, like I said, the yoga practices, different circles, meditations, but also something that's on a sliding scale so that everybody can access it. Because what I noticed in my time of traveling and trying to get involved in different healing modalities, sometimes the cost means I'm not able to do it. And that's one thing I don't want to stop people from being able to heal. I want those that really want to heal to be able to come there, and we'll figure out a way that it can work for them, so that it is open to everybody. It's not just those that have the financial means to be able to come on a nice retreat or something. It's a safe space for people to come that everyone from all walks of life can learn and dive deeper into themselves, really.
That's amazing. That's really amazing. And I'm sure with, you know, you've got a lot of drive and focus, and you're a mover and a shaker for sure. Like,
thank you.
The fruition for sure. And I really love this idea of like this umbrella facility whereby like people can come, and it's kind of like your one-stop shop, really. Because, you know, the way I see like all of the different healing modalities is that each modality we can, this is my kind of internalization, that each modality is kind of like a key. And every person has like a unique set of locks. So, you know, and like each modality, like Reiki is a key, psychotherapy is a key, manual therapy is a key, lifting weights is a key, right? Like there's all of these different keys, and you know, each person has a specific thing that they feel called to, resonates with them to really unlock the aspects of their healing journeys at the right times. And this is a funny thing as well. Like, I'd love to ask you a little bit about this. So when you found out, like, it's like freaky deaky thing, how like you seem to get the right thing just at the right time, not before. Like, it might be like exposure to like a new healing modality, or or like you might meet a new person, or, you know, something will happen just at the right time to kind of spur on the next stage of the journey. Do you find that?
Oh yeah, all of the time. Especially when I am in flow and I'm just kind of letting things go, and the type of person that would get really frustrated because it's not coming in fast enough. And I have to tell myself it'll come in when it's supposed to, and it'll come in when it's here. And then all of a sudden I'll just meet somebody at the right time that'll just give me an inspiration for something. And I'm like, okay, this is exactly right. And it catalysts the next thing that goes on. So again, with me having been traveling and, you know, meeting yourself and catalysting other things, I just found that I've met these people that have, they've just given me that inspiration, or they've opened something up. And for instance, the lady who I met is a massage client. She was the one that then eventually gave me my Reiki practitioner, like my Reiki teacher. And had it not been for just that coincidence and that meeting, then that wouldn't have happened the way it did. And again, I'm someone that holds off on doing things until I know deep in my core that it's right, until I'm like, okay, yeah, this is not just going to jump in with anyone to be like, hey, I'm going to learn from you. No, it's got to be right. And then you know exactly why you waited maybe that extra year, because this is the person I'm supposed to work with. And as soon as you do, things just roll even faster and even quicker than you could have ever imagined.
Yeah, wicked. Yeah, it's lovely articulation. I had a funny thing happen with a client recently, actually, because I was going to start working with a client like last spring, and it didn't quite work out for in terms of timings because of kids, she then later in the year was in more of a position to do some work, and just so happened that I started learning about a certain dynamic which was directly applicable to our work that I wasn't learning about the dynamic in spring. So yeah. She came along like literally like 2 weeks after I really started like learning about this dynamic. I was like, whoa. Yeah, it wasn't the right time before, because it's really funny when you see how.
Yeah. It's the same, like obviously with my knee injury, had that not have happened, it wouldn't have catalyzed me to then leaving Canada and all the different things that happened and pushed me back onto my path, because I'd kind of fallen off my path for a little bit. And because of having something like this that made me, I couldn't leave the house for almost like 10, 12 weeks and things. And it was really tough, but it pushed me back on the path of being like, okay, what is it that I actually want to do with my life? And it pushed me back to where I was supposed to be, which then brought me on this journey here into Latin America, where I've, again, just things have just been falling into place so quickly. That it just shows, yeah, everything, there's no coincidences. Everything happens for a reason when it's supposed to at the right time.
Mm-hmm. And why do you think that is? This is a big question.
I think it's because we're ready for it. It opens it up to us when we are ready for it. And also because it's... yes, we have free will, but things are kind of set out for us of what's going to happen. And as soon as we get back in alignment with the path that we're supposed to be on to get us to where our end goal is, even though I don't like the end goal, you know, the journey is just as much of the importance. I feel like we're opened up to what we're ready and able to receive in that time. Because if we were to open up to things too soon or have that information given to us too soon, we wouldn't know what to do with it. It wouldn't be right. It would just go over our heads. And then a few years down the line, we'd come and be like, oh, that would have been really helpful now. So it all comes when it's supposed to, because, yeah, there's something a little bigger happening than just us. And it's all part of a bigger story, a bigger frame, a bigger change that's happening in the world. So that's how I like to look at it anyway.
That's a really good segue into something I wanted to open up with you next, actually. So we're in like a really interesting time, you know. There's a lot of challenges happening, but also there's a lot of beauty that's happening at the moment. And my opinion is that there's not enough focus on the beauty, especially if you kind of watch the mainstream news. Like, it would have you believe that there's no beauty in the world whatsoever. However, I'm seeing some amazing shifts across humanity. I'm seeing like lots of people realizing certain things about their life, taking a lot of action, embarking on healing journeys. There's like this mass movement towards spirituality. There's like projects popping up left, right and center to help the planet. And you know, there's like, it seems as though within the business world, the is moving to so much more of a heart-centric point of view, way of being, because it's like, I think the world is come to a full realization. There was realization before, but it's coming to a much fuller realization that capitalism and you know, the way things have been going and the system, you know, it's not been serving people in the best way that it perhaps could have. And it's not to like, you know, demonize capitalism. I think there's like a light and shadow expression of everything. But yeah, like there seems to be this mass shift with yeah, like an awakening into spirituality. Like, whereas like 5 years ago, there was like, you know, it was very much, it's not where it is now. Like, let's put it that way. It was like quite fringe. Whereas it's becoming more mainstream. There's a lot of people doing breath work. There's a lot of people opening up onto new concepts, like such as, you know, going to like a Reiki practitioner or like doing other kinds of energy work. And yeah, there's just like a big movement happening at the moment. So yeah, I guess like another double-barreled question is that first off, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this, and then I'll ask my next question after. Yeah.
Okay. Again, I have seen such a shift and such a change. I think I've been on this path for a very long time, but I've always been a little bit hidden about it because of the fact that it was a little bit woo-woo, it was a little bit different, and I felt, oh, people are going to judge me because they'll think I'm a bit different or I'm a bit too hippie, or, you know, there was all these kind of labels put out there for different modalities. But I think the pandemic was a huge catalyst for people to really go inwards, to really kind of understand and notice what was actually important in their life. And for them, they realized, you know, it's not necessarily going out to work 40, 50 hours a week and working for this corporation, this high end, making all this money. It's about connecting with those closest to you, whether it's with family, loved one, friends, and really putting focus and emphasis on what brings joy to their life. And because so many of us were just caught in this cycle. And I think we've kind of stepped back, and because more people are opening up and talking about spirituality and, you know, showing that there's different practices that we can do every day that have not only spiritual benefits, but physical benefits to our life, like breath work. And I think because more people are opening these spaces up, people are just thinking, what's the harm? Let's give it a go. I'm not, you know, ingesting anything. I'm going in to sit and I'm going to breathe for an hour. What's the worst that could happen? And they're coming out and they're noticing these huge shifts and these huge changes within themselves, that then it's given them that confidence to, okay, that there is something here, and then sharing that with their friends. And, you know, especially if you've got, say, a group of guys and you've got, you know, one that's like a real laddie lad, but he comes away and said, guys, I did this incredible breathwork session and I released all these emotions and I even sat and cried. And it just opens that space for people to be like, oh, okay. So it's okay to be a little bit vulnerable. It's okay to shift and to allow people to see other sides of what's going on. I suppose I felt that a lot of it happened from the pandemic. I think maybe it changed before that because obviously we were going into like the age of Aquarius, so people were definitely becoming a lot more open to community, a lot more about expressing, a lot more about teaching and learning and sharing. And I think people are just maybe kind of really getting sick of the narrative that the world's a rubbish place. And yeah, okay, there is some bad things that go on and happen, but there is so much beauty if we stop to see it. If we just look around and see all these beautiful things, like, you know, you stop and look at the plants, the trees, like the incredible beauty of nature. And people are just getting back out into that more. And I've noticed through social media, seeing so many people going hiking and going walking mountains and things. And half these people were ones that, you know, would have rather spent their weekends at the pub, but now they're getting out into nature and they're finding joy in so many other aspects, and they're able to share that with more people or even do it alone and still and come away with that, okay, I've achieved something and I also feel great. And yeah, I think people are just really, I don't know, everyone's focus and shift is changing, and it's really, really beautiful to see that. And to then, as a person like myself, feel really safe to start expressing and being like, ah, okay, these things that I tried to talk about with people maybe a few years ago, now I really can bring them in and have these conversations with them. And I notice when I go home with my friends, I'll start talking about things and they'll be really inquisitive and they'll be asking questions like, okay, Leah, so what is this? And what do you do in these spaces? And what's this all about? And they may not be ready there yet to step fully into it, but they're, that dialogue's opening and that safe space is kind of being created and shared where there's no shame in it anymore.
Amen, sister. Amen. So you mentioned how it was a little bit of a challenging journey, opening up more into that spirituality, maybe not opening up more into the spirituality, but opening up and sharing it with other people. Because I guess, like, you know, there's I can imagine that there's fears around it. I know my experiences is like fear of judgment of others through, you know, being in a certain way or saying these certain things. I'd love to hear like a little bit about your journey through that, and what kinds of challenges were you facing to that made that difficult, and how did you move to overcome those and be able to share as you are now?
I think again it was a huge fear of judgment. It really was. I really just kind of wanted to fit in and blend in and not stand out, because if you stand out, someone's going to notice it and someone's maybe not going to like it, and you can become a target for things. And I don't know, I just found that, you know, maybe I'd share things and then I'd be in friendship circles and I'd hear people mocking somebody having done something similar to what I did, and I'd be like, oh god, okay, does that mean they think that of me? Do I need to pull it back in? And I would start to kind of share and express things, and then this almost like imposter syndrome would come over of being like, who are you to share these things? Like, who are you to tell people to, you know, add these things into their lives or live a different way? And I think that was because, again, I was on, you know, my own healing journey and wasn't feeling fully confident and true in myself. I wasn't fully accepting of who I was and who I am. I just found that, you know, I'd start to put things out there and then I would see things and I would feel a bit of that shame and that almost guilt and things around it. So I'd really kind of pull back. And then it wasn't until I started to work with different modalities and really just strip back those layers of being like, okay, why? Like, why is it that I have this need of people wanting to like me or to, you know, understand everything that I'm going to say? Like, people aren't going to, and that's okay. Like, I'm not going to make every person like me or resonate with what I have to say, but somebody will. And it was when I started sharing things and people then responding and being like, oh, okay, this really hit home true for this, and I really thank you for sharing this. And when I started getting that feedback, I was like, okay, I'm making a little difference here to somebody. This resonates with me, so I'm going to share it. And if it helps one other person, then I've done something good there. It was really, really just letting that mask and that fear go, that fear of judgment, and just being like, you know what, this is me, and those that love me are going to continue to love me as I am, and those that aren't, they're just going to fall away and step to the sideline. And it made things then a lot easier to kind of step into that and to understand that I can't control things. All I can control is myself. I can control my small environment, but I can't control how somebody's going to take that information, what somebody's going to do with it. I can, you know, just be true and honest to myself, which is why, yeah, I started to create more things and share stuff and try to just share my voice honestly. But I suppose the big thing was getting that positive feedback from people and being like, okay. And again, maybe that's a little bit of the ego side there talking, because it's getting like, yeah, you're doing something great. But it just feels, I suppose now it feels authentic, because I feel in a space where what I am saying is things that I have practiced for a long time, things that I do use in my daily life, and things that have had such a big shift and change. And I'm not doing it for any other reason other than to kind of spread that word and to share and help people. So, yeah.
Thank you for that beautiful articulation. That's like really, really on point, really on point. And, you know, I suppose when, you know, you're moving through these concepts and doing this kind of work and you see the results mirrored back to you within yourself and with others that you're affecting, it's just like, hang on, how much longer can I go along this path and like be in skepticism when I'm just seeing, like, you know,
exactly. You know?
And it's kind of like, I'll go kind of like super kind of pragmatic and logical here to kind of, cause like, I'd love for like to be able to send this podcast to people to who are like curious about spirituality, but like maybe are thinking like, I'm not sure about this stuff. But so if we're to go like super pragmatic, I don't think it is this. but you know, what if it's all just a placebo effect?
Yeah, could be.
Even if it is all just a placebo effect, if it's getting good results,
exactly,
I mean, it works. You know, if someone's getting better through doing this stuff, then okay, it could be placebo, but that's still working. So hang on, it's still effective. And then I'll go pragmatic from a different angle. But we look at like the chakras, every single thought and emotion and way we can be mentally and emotionally is contained within those seven themes. So every single expression of what a human can potentially express can be categorized or put to one of these energy centers in terms of the themes that they represent. And then expanding a little bit more on that, if we look at the 12 signs of the astrological wheel, these 12 signs are everything we see in totality on our human earth can be seen through one or more or a combination of those lenses. So every single thing can be explained through the astrological wheel. So like a really straightforward example being like, you know, spring can be associated with a number of the signs, so can summer, so can autumn and winter, and you can see the different shades of those qualities represented in what each of these symbols mean. So yeah, it's kind of like so that's kind of like to kind of help with like the like looking at things like quote-unquote logically for but like when you go further into it, then actually you understand that like the energy is kind of logical, but at the same time super mysterious.
Yeah. And the thing is as well with energy, if we trap and hold on to it, it gets stored in those places. And if we don't express it properly, we just become stuck and stagnant. And if we just take that little bit of time to dive into ourselves and maybe look at your chart and look at, okay, where do I have, you know, different houses, different things to understand, oh, that's maybe why I'm triggered in those situations. Or when you're in an interaction with somebody, looking and being like, okay, because everyone that you come into contact is a mirror of you. And it's like, okay, why do I not like this person? Okay, there's something about them that I don't like in myself that they do. Okay, let's look back on that. And it just allows us just to shift those perspectives. And yeah, working like, again, going back to rage, if we just kind of hold and store it all up, we'll notice physically that this area underneath, kind of like in our solar plexus area, will become really tight and really sore, and we'll hold a lot on there. Whereas if we can learn to kind of release that, again, we may not, you know, we may hold a little bit of stored weight around that area, or, you know, the muscles may feel really tight. But if we learn to release that physically, it'll just feel that little bit nicer. We won't touch it and it won't feel tender, or you won't feel when something comes up and happen that there's just this big ball of fire in there that you're trying to just like push back down. It'll just, you know, gently flow up and through, and you can then be able to articulate or express it in a controlled and safe way. I think the more that we look into who we are as people, how we work, we just take that little bit of time to sit with ourselves and be like, whether it's looking at your astrological chart, whether it's looking at your human design or whatever, like resonates with you, if we just take that little bit of time to look at ourselves, it just allows us to understand where we send our energy, where we flow into, and how we can step each day maybe on a better foot.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you. I'd love to ask you next about what advice could you give people who are maybe curious about opening up into their spirituality and perhaps curious about moving into a more spiritual path or way of being, but they're maybe not too sure maybe where to start, or, you know, maybe they're going through like a similar challenge in like thinking like, oh, what will people think of me? So like what kind of advice could you give to this person in terms of like stepping further into this way of being?
So this is something that I get quite often, because I do notice a lot of people that seem to resonate with me are people on the beginning of their journey. So it's something that I'm starting to create a program to help people with that. But I would say just to be mindful with yourself, just to start with really simple practices such as journaling, and just write down the thoughts that come into your head on a morning, write things down, write some maybe little goals or ideas you have for the day, and just be really mindful and just start to notice emotions and things that come up where you might be triggered and little things. And write these things down when they come up. It's a great way to put it onto paper to get it out of our head, and then we're not mulling it over too much. If you can, spend maybe 5 minutes, 10 minutes in meditation, whether it's listening to a guide. I'd probably recommend listening to a guided meditation to start, because it's just a nice way just to kind of keep you going, and they give you nice directions into where to focus. But just quiet in the mind for a little bit if you can, and trying to move the body, whether it be with a bit of exercise, dancing for 5 minutes to a fun song that you put on whilst you're making breakfast on a morning, just something to move that energy and just become a little bit more present with what's going on. Like it's something that I'm wanting to create, because I feel that there is a lack in the world, or lack in the spiritual space at the moment, for people to step into the spiritual world. I feel it's so easy to find like great spaces to do all these wonderful things, but there's no almost like beginning platform for people. And I noticed when I was stepping into spaces, I'd go into circles and things and almost feel like, oh, I don't belong here, because people were so much further on their journey than I was. And the language they were using, the things they were doing, I was like, oh God, I shouldn't be here. But then I felt like I didn't fit in like normal life either. And it was finding that balance. And I suppose it's finding a practitioner that you resonate with and reaching out to them to see if they have any practices that they could offer to you, any courses that you can go on, but not forcing something that doesn't fit. You know, that we, again, as you said before, there's all keys and different modalities that work on us and in different locks. And something that works for one person won't necessarily work for you, but taking that time to understand yourself a little bit more and finding what resonates with you, not just doing it because the masses do it, and will have a much bigger impact doing that for 5 minutes a day than it will forcing yourself to do something for an hour a day that just doesn't feel right.
Wonderful. Thank you. Maybe a bit of a nightmare question, but if you could give a nutshell version of what spirituality is, what could you say?
Oh, wow.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. Spirituality for me anyway is a way of being. It's a way of how I live my daily life, but just by being conscious of my energy, what I put out there, and realizing everything comes back to love. The love that you have for yourself, the love that you have for other people, the love that you have for the planet and the things around you, the more of that you can put out there, the more that you can get back. And I believe spirituality is just a way of allowing us to reconnect to ourselves and come home to who we are, and to help others shine that light, open in those different places, and just to really, yeah, spread the love, because that's what it all comes back to. You know, whether you look at all different religions and things, that the main practice of a lot of them is all about sharing love and loving your neighbor and just doing a little bit, something that can make a little difference to one person's day. So, yeah, I think being intentional with what we do, with how we share, with where we step our energy. And yeah, for me, it's all about, so yeah, seeing the good in every day and sharing a little bit of love if I can.
Beautiful. It's got me right in the feels. I got my hair stood on end. Thank you. I'm gonna come to our last question. And that is, Phoenix Vision is dedicated to creating a transformative vision of health for its listeners. So what does transformation mean to you, and what would you like to transform in the future?
Transformation for me means not being afraid to let go of old narratives or old beliefs that maybe we had. I feel that so many of us get stuck, well, this is what I believed 5 years ago, so I need to hold on to this. No, it's okay to say, hey, last week when I said this, I was wrong. You know, I've learned something new. I've changed and seen a different perspective of something. I suppose transforming is just stepping into who we're supposed to be, who we were put on this earth to be, allowing us to be true to ourselves. And what do I want to transform? I suppose I'm in a state right now. I was in a very much a resting state before, and I was, you know, trying to become very comfortable and okay with that. So transforming my mindset on what my life should look like and how I should be doing things. And now I'm very much in a creative and learning state. I'm really opening up and transforming the modalities that I work with, what I want to step into and what I want to offer to people. And again, transforming and using my voice a lot more to express myself, to express offerings and different things to people. I suppose transforming in my life right now is definitely the learning aspect. And I just want to be able to dive deeper into that and offer more to people. Not allow that fear to creep back in, and just keep on pushing through with that confidence and the self-resilience.
Amazing. Thank you so much. You're very much a person who is walking the heroine's journey and like really, really, you know, in, like helping a lot of people in that process. So like, it's been a joy and a pleasure conversing with you for the last hour or so. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
Leah, how can people find out more about you, working with you? I know you're traveling at the moment, but you mentioned about maybe coming back to the UK. So I assume that maybe you're going to be starting your practice again here. How can find out more about you?
Yeah. So I'm on Facebook and Instagram. Leah Kicks is my name. You can follow me, add me on there. And I'm creating new practices to share and to offer with people. I think my traveling time is coming to an end. So I'm going to head back home and then hopefully open and start offering massage and Reiki and circles and things again to people. So again, those will all be shared on social media. Probably best way is just to grab me on there, and I can then pass on emails and things like that to people and go from there with what flows for those.
Amazing. Thank you. we were having a joke before the podcast. Kicks is not your second name. Because I was like, a nickname, and I was just like, no, it's my name. I was like, that's the best second name ever.
Isn't it just a fab name? Yeah. I'm just like, okay, we really got to step into this. I've got a powerful name. Let's step into being this gentle, powerful presence for people.
Awesome. Well, Leah, thank you so much for coming on. Thank you for your time and taking time out of your Saturday to come on and talk. And really appreciate it, and really appreciate you. So thank you so much.
No, thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure and an honour to be here. Thank you for asking me to be a part of this. Thank you.
Absolute pleasure. Much love.
Yeah, take care.